Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Just last week, we heard in the 16th chapter of Matthew that powerful story where Jesus goes to the disciples and says, "Who do people say that I am?" Well, they think you're Elijah or one of the prophets. Moses, come back, a heck of a good guy. And then Jesus says, "But who do you say that I am?" And we hear from Peter this incredible confession. "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." 3 verses later, Jesus is calling him Satan. Oh, how things change quickly in Scripture. You see, when Peter does his confession, he says, "You are the Anointed One." And he has an idea, I think, of what that should be like. This is the Savior, the one who will do away with our problems, who will usher into the world a new regime. Without hardly a breath taken, Jesus shows that his idea of being Messiah might be different than Peter's. It says in Matthew, "And he began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." There's a very important word in that scripture. In the Gospel of Mark, which has this same story, it says, "From that time on, Jesus began to teach his disciples what would happen." But in Matthew, the word is show, demonstrate, live out. So for Jesus, this idea of messiahship is not something that is theoretical or theological or a teaching moment. It is life itself, and he will show them what it means to be a disciple. And if we fast forward to the end of the story, we know that many of Jesus' early disciples came to untimely ends. It wasn't what they thought it was going to be. And in fact, it turned out that being Messiah, being the chosen one, the anointed one, had nothing to do with the kind of kingship that many had expected. And so Jesus says to them, "If any will follow me, if you want to be one of my followers, you must take up your cross. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." I've said it before, and I'll say it again. It's no wonder that we have a hard time converting people to Christianity. Here's the deal. Why don't you come and join a religion that's going to kill you? Come and be a part of a movement in the world where you're asked to pour out your very self for the sake of others. It'll be really fun. Is it no wonder that Peter says, "Lord, this isn't exactly what we had in mind. Jesus, this is not a very good marketing campaign. You know, let's have a little chat about this. Maybe we could get a little confab together, a little marketing group, put up a website, maybe do a survey and find out what people really want to have in a Messiah." And Jesus says, "No." "The only way is that I will love you enough to die." Peter has a tough time with it. And frankly, so do we. It's so antithetical to everything that makes sense to us. It's so opposite of everything that we value. The pursuit of happiness and wealth and security, that's really what guides our way, isn't it? That certainly is the American way, that what you're supposed to be doing. I read the other day, you know, at 24 years old or something, you should really have about $40,000 in your retirement account. Really? And that's security. What we value and what we say is our religious life don't seem to have anything to do with one another. I think most of us, and certainly I count myself in this group, I really agree with Peter. I think Jesus is nuts. And yet, it's not by following conventional wisdom or the way of the world that Jesus transforms the world. You notice it says in this gospel, it says, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Let them pour themselves out for the sake of the world. It's voluntary. It's voluntary. That's what you're being asked to do. A long time ago, there was a man named Moses the Black. Moses the Black was a robber, and he kind of made his living doing what robbers do. And one day he had tried to rob a home, and the dogs were barking, and he was thwarted from being able to rob this particular house. And he was so angry that he swore vengeance on the owner of the house. So some days later, he went back with his knife in his mouth and he crawled up to the house to kill the owner of the home. And again, the dogs barked and he was kept from being able to get in. And then people started to chase after him, and he killed some of the owner's sheep. And they chased after him, and he was about to be caught, and he found refuge in a monastery in the desert. A wolf among sheep. Over time, he became so impressed with the life that those monks lived that he himself accepted Christ and was converted. And not only was he converted, he too became a monk. Over time, he even became a spiritual leader within the cloister. This robber, this no good, this nobody, this nothing, this horrible person had his life transformed. Well, one day some other robbers came in to try and rob the monastery, not an unusual thing. Now Moses was a good fighter. He'd been doing it his whole life. And so when they tried to get in, he grabbed the two robbers by the scruff of the neck and he drug them around the sanctuary amidst all of the brothers. What should we do with them? Well, in Moses' world, you kill them. That's what you do with them. They tried to rob us. But it was Moses himself who said, no, let gentleness be our guide. And guess what happened to the robbers? They also converted. Who knew? So here this thief, this robber, this scourge of society now becomes transformed by God's love into a transformer. Well, this happens a few more times, and even one time the abbot of the cloister had commanded that for a week they would fast. And Moses, being Moses, got up one morning and fixed everybody breakfast. I thought that was an excellent idea. Don't you think a good breakfast is an excellent way to start a fast? He got up and he fixed the breakfast, and of course the brothers and the abbot were mortified. You have broken the law of God. So they brought him up to trial. He didn't show up. Instead, he put a jar of water on his shoulder and began to walk to where he was to be tried. And there was a hole of water, a hole in the jar, and it leaked out as he went. And then he carried a basket of sand, and as he walked, it was being just leaked out as he walked. And he said, "I am leaving my sins behind me. I am leaving my sins behind me. My sins run out behind me and I do not see them, but today I am coming to judge the errors of another." And his brothers forgave him. The last part of Moses' story was that late in his life, the Berbers, a group of Berbers came to rob again the sanctuary. And everyone wanted to fight. That was Moses' way. You fight. But Moses said, "No, let us welcome them in Christ." And so as the Berbers came up to the monastery, Moses and two of his companions spread their arms out and welcomed them in the name of Christ. What do you think happened? Who thinks they were converted? John, you are truly an optimist. Killed him dead. The Berbers killed him and ransacked the monastery. What Moses is remembered for is that the martyrdom of Christ, this Messiah who was hung upon a cross, transformed his heart. And he became really one of the first people to say nonviolence and love is the way you deal with your enemies. His life was transformed. And if you read that letter from Paul that we had as our second lesson today, the whole point of the messiahship of Jesus, of the cross of Jesus, of his death and life and resurrection, is that we too are transformed. Not just to do good things, because that's what Jesus would expect of us, right? The "what would Jesus do" thing. That's all fine and well, but that's just going a 16th of an inch into a mile deep chasm. What Paul seeks is a transformation of the heart, of our community, of our world, where the norm is love. Where loving an enemy is no more bizarre than drinking a cup of cool water. And where sharing that love with our neighbors is part of our very life. "Get thee behind me," he said to Peter. "You Satan, you destroyer. My messiahship will look like this. It will be a cross. And on that cross, and through that cross, God's love will transform my people. And may it be so for us, that we become God's cruciform people." Amen. For further information about Moses the Black, please refer to Wikipedia.